Hi, it's good to have your company. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart. Well, there's no doubt that Australia and the love of sport go hand in hand. We are a nation of sports lovers, if not sports participants. Some might even say sport is something like our religion. We dedicate ourselves to the gods of the arena. We worship in the temples. We make sacrifices and conduct rituals in honour of the sporting gods. But what do we make of the competitiveness of sport? Is this developing something in us that's a good thing? Does competition of the sort we engage in sport break the golden rule of treating people the way we would like to be treated? Well, to discuss these topics and others, I'm joined by Dr. Richard Schumach, who has done a lot of thinking and writing on this topic of sport and our attitudes to it. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Simon. Good to be here.
Now, you and I are sports tragics. We've played sport all our lives. We still do, albeit in limited and somewhat sad form. But we certainly still enjoy watching sport. Isn't there a real risk in competitive sport that people are not treated well in the competition itself?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a risk. You and I, I'm sure, have both been in games where people have stepped over that white line and they lose their temper, fights happen. White line fever, it's a well-recognised thing in a male sport anyway. That's certainly true. And not just on the field, off the field, tempers are frayed, tribalism happens, hooliganism happens as well. In fact, Hugh Mackay, the social commentator, he even goes so far as to say that the big problem in all competitive sport is that it's always at someone's expense. Winning is at the other person's expense, and so that's never good.
I think competition between kids is a good thing. I think competition is in all walks of life. Being a teacher as well, I know students are competitive not only just in sports but in how they would do perform in class. So yeah, I think competition is something that can be encouraged, but also not to make it all about the competition and winning, but taking part, getting enjoyment from the game.
I think definitely competition is really healthy, and I think that that's always, again, going to be part of sport. Whether violence is going to be part of that at a young age is probably, I don't think that I'd agree with it to a huge extent until probably they graduated into a higher grade. Like, I'm studying psychology, and just the effects on the brain in an early childhood, you know, age would just be really detrimental, or could be detrimental in later life.
You're listening to Life and Faith. We're talking about sport this week, talking with Richard Schumach. So, Richard, which is your sport of choice?
Well, I've played many sports, but my particular football sport of choice is Australian rules football.
Richard, we've talked about the risks associated with competitive sport, but what are some of the good things about that competition?
Right. Well, obviously, as a player and coach in competitive sport, I think that competition is a good thing. And that's because sport is a game. Supposed to be fun, and I think for the people who enjoy competitive sport, it's that element of competition that heightens the fun or intensifies the fun. They enjoy challenging themselves, they enjoy winning, they might even enjoy losing, but they enjoy that challenge of competitive sport. And I think the enjoyment comes from the satisfaction of setting yourself a challenge. It'll be a physical challenge or a strategic challenge or a team challenge. You set yourself that challenge and you overcome that challenge, or you reach that challenge, or even fall short. But the joy is in learning what you're capable of as an individual and as a team, both physically but also relationally and strategically. That's the joy of sport, and that's what competition really pushes you hard towards.
Right. There's a shared experience of that is really memorable, isn't it? You don't forget that when you've joined in with other people to seek a goal and maybe get it or get close to it. But let's come back to Hugh Mackay's point, though, that competition in sport comes at the expense of someone else, the one who loses, for instance. So in order for someone to win, another has to lose. There's a bit of truth to that, right?
I think that's only true if you are playing the game solely to win the game, particularly if you'll do whatever it takes to get over the top of the other person to win the game. But I think very, very few people actually play sport just to win the game. Most people lose a lot of the time, if not most of the time. So, for example, I was in a football team. When I played senior football, my first year, we didn't win a single game. Our second year, we only won our first game near the end of the season. We came to sing the club song. No one knew the club song.
Because you only sing the song when you've won.
When you won, right. But we weren't playing football just to win. Otherwise, we would have given up and gone home long ago. We played it because we had a shared love of football and a shared love of kicking a ball around and attempting to score goals. We enjoyed it because it wasn't just about winning. So I think that's true. Most of us, certainly in Australia, we want to win fairly and squarely. We don't like the idea that someone might go easy on us or might let us win. I would rather get thrashed and have my opponent try his hardest. Again, that's another clue that we don't just do it for the sake of winning. We do it because we're joining together. Our opponents are not enemies, they're our partners. We join with them to set each other challenges and to enjoy doing that.
And you can't forget that first ever win, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Well, until I got injured this year, we went the whole season without winning a game. And it's one of the best seasons I've had because it taught me how to lose. I'm a very competitive person by nature, don't like losing at all. And used to get annoyed by winning if we didn't win playing the way I wanted us to play. Losing, I think, teaches you good values as well.
In America, we say it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. But we know the reality of it is it's winning is really what counts.
Because sport is fun, sport is enjoyable. It's not the be all and end all winning, but it is a significant factor.
Fun. Oh, definitely. Like I'm from the Northern Territory, and you know, when we go into interstate sort of tournaments, you know, we don't generally win, but in particular sports. But I think that winning is always going to be the best part about sport. But, you know, also the participation is really gratifying as well.
You're on Life and Faith. We're talking about sport. Now, there are some obvious examples where the experience of being crushed by someone else, either an individual or a team, is not much fun for the loser. I might think of my son's under-9s rugby league team that's yet to register a win this year, and it's increasingly the cases they're getting, you know, flogged every week. It's not, you can see them getting a bit demoralised. There's not much fun in that sort of competition.
No, absolutely. And remember, sport's a game. It's about having fun. And the competition should be fun. And if you're getting thrashed week after week after week, as you say, that's not a lot of fun. But I think that's really just a problem of having a poor competition where you don't have evenly matched teams or you don't have evenly matched players. And the way you get around that in sport is by having divisions. And when you have divisions, people playing against people of similar ability, then there's a genuine competition. And then it's fun.
Yeah, it's not much fun, presumably, for the team that wins by those massive margins either. They would rather have a closer contest too.
Right, and part of the reason it's not much fun is because there's no real challenge. They don't learn anything. They're not pushed to really be strategic about it. They can do it in a canter. It's a bit like in the Barcelona Olympics with the American basketball team. First time professionals were allowed to play. Magic Johnson was there, Michael Jordan were there. They had 10 of their best 50 in the history of the game playing. They won every game. They never took a timeout. They won the gold medal. But they treated it like a holiday. It wasn't genuine competition.
Well, some might think, Richard, that if Christianity calls people towards mercy for people weaker than you or virtues like kindness and gentleness, those things are not a great match when it comes to competitive sport. Is there an inherent conflict then for people who have a faith and yet want to be involved in competitive sport?
Look, I think there can be a conflict. If you are someone who does get white line fever, if you cross that line and it stops you seeing the opponent as a person or as someone you're joining with, you're partnering with in the love of sport, then yeah, there's a real danger that you're not going to be caring for that person in going about it. But I don't think that's a necessary thing. I think that for most people, most of the time, it's like I said before, we share a love of sport. We contract with each other to get out there and to enjoy challenging each other and pushing each other. You don't have to play sport, or you can play sport non-competitively, but for the people who enjoy competition, it can be a deeply relational and community-building thing. Some of the best times in sport are not on the field. They're afterwards when you're sharing a drink with the opposing team.
I remember the rugby league player Jason Stevens, who's a Christian, was often asked this sort of question. He used to say, "Well, you know, don't you know your Bible? It's better to give than to receive." When he was talking about, you know, smashing his opponent and that sort of thing. But he was someone who was able to bring a real fierce competitive spirit to the game. But you didn't get the sense that he was sort of full of hatred for the opposition. It was a really healthy kind of engagement in that sort of competition. What about when we think of especially kids' sports, the competitive nature of that? Is that a good thing? Like, should we be encouraging?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Why is
that? Because I think it drives people for success in other areas of their life, outside of sport, success in the workplace, success at school, that sort of thing.
Here's some audio from the Inner West rugby team's Saturday mornings at St Luke's Oval.
Two things, boys. Listen up, please. Come on, listen. Lads, if you're not going to listen, you're going to get on the sidelines. Go, Chamois. We clean out really hard and we tackle low. Let's go. Come on, Chamois. Let's go. Go, boys. Yeah.
Go, Chamois.
Good game, boys. Good game.
Guys, go and say thanks to the ref, please.
I don't think that was a good ref.
So, Richard, give us an example of how you see that sort of healthy relational aspect of competitive sport working.
Absolutely. Let me give you two quick ones. First one is I coach junior football. This year we had a young kid join our team who, first year of playing football, not very skilled, not very big, obviously not very experienced. We had a game a couple of weeks back where this little kid, he was monstered by this huge player on the other team. Generally, he hardly even gets a kick, but this guy, he went in, grabbed the ball and was smashed to the ground. I was honestly scared for his safety. He got up and he was really shaken. We came off the field at the end of the game, and before I could say anything in the change rooms, all the rest of the team grabbed him and cheered and clapped him, didn't get a kick all game, but they didn't see him as a liability. They didn't see his lack of skill as a problem. They saw him as someone who was willing to put in for the team. And that's that sort of relational thing. When it builds team, when it builds community, when people don't accept whatever it is that someone can bring to the table and rejoice in that, that's some of the really beautiful things about competitive sport. He was willing to put it on the line, didn't offer a lot of skill, but offered a great attitude, and that everyone enjoyed and celebrated that.
Well, that's a beautiful story of the way that can work. Have you got any other stories or examples like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you a story, true story, about one of the greatest games in the history of Australian football, which was the 1979 grand final between Carlton and Collingwood, where Carlton won. It was a very exciting game. The captain of Carlton was Alex Jesolinko, and he, the day after, he had a barbecue. He was hosting the barbecue celebration barbecue at his house, but his barbecue broke down. But one of his best mates was Craig Davis, who was playing for Collingwood, the opposing team who'd lost the grand final. And so he rang Craig Davis and said, "Mate, can you come bring your barbecue and cook the celebration barbecue for the Carlton team?"
Was he rubbing it in at that
stage?
No,
absolutely. They were genuine best mates. And Craig said, "Okay, I'll do it." And he came over and he cooked the barbecue. And it seems to me that says more about Craig Davis as a person, but it also says what sport is about. It's here these people who enjoyed a love of football and their mateship transcended it, and humility and team, it was all there.
So it's good to smash each other on the Saturday, but barbecues together on the Sunday. So Richard, as a coach of sport, what's your test for whether competitive sport is fostering something valuable and admirable or not?
Well, I think the key test is whether people are having fun, but not just individual fun, whether people are having fun together, whether there's corporate fun, whether it's building community, whether it's building relationship. That for me is the test. Sport is a game, has to be a game. If people take it too seriously, no one has fun. That's the test. Is it fun?
Well, we are in the middle of winter season of sport and talking about the good aspects of competitive sports. Great to get your thoughts on that, Richard. And we want to keep talking about this in a couple more episodes of Life and Faith. Where do you want to go next time?
I want to explore what for me is a real challenge to wrestle through with sport, and that is, what about violence in sport? I love sport, I love competitive sport, but more than that, I really like contact sport, violent competitive sport. How does that work? How can that still be a good thing when sport is violent?
Well, let's look forward to that. We'll talk about it next time. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.